Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
I want to thank Pastor Mario for being a warrior on Sunday and preaching. Amen. Got stuck behind this pulpit, know he wanted to move and couldn't. That's the worst thing. But I'm so thankful for him and the great word he preached. I watched it Sunday night when I got back to the hotel. And bring greetings from our churches in Costa Rica. Amen. Pavas and Ciudad Colón, Pastor Jose and Marcela, Pastor Carlos and Gloria. The churches are doing well. Amen. We were able to bless or be there and be blessed to be there last Wednesday in our Pavas church and then Sunday in our Ciudad Colón church. And so they said hi to you from everyone there, and I said hi to them from you. Amen. And God is doing great things there, and we're excited that the churches are doing well. Amen. Before I get into the word tonight, I got blessed by a video. How many of you got kids here? Kids, what's the age back there right now? 4 to 10? How many got kids 4 to 10? Let me see your hands in here. All right, we're gonna bless you right now. Let me put this video up and show you how they do back there in children's church on a Wednesday night. Start it over if we ain't got no sound, because that's very important. There we go. I wish we could have done a little, a touch screen where you can go like that and zoom in. If you just saw, I think that's Torin and CJ, yes. And unfortunately, you can't see it. Or maybe you can. Maybe I can't see it back there. Can you see that they're not looking around? Their eyes are closed and they're worshiping God. That's what your kids are doing tonight back there, amen, in children's church. Learning how to worship the Lord, amen. I want to talk tonight for just a few minutes. And don't forget Sunday's Easter, amen. We've got a lot of flyers out there. Please get one, get a handful, pass them out at work this week. This is a day, shouldn't be this way, but it is. This is a day of the year that lots of people choose to go to church, once, and then Christmas is the other one. But let's try to hook them on Sunday, amen. God's going to be with us. The presence of the Lord will be with us, and we'll be believing to get some people saved that will stay, amen. So I want to talk tonight about the favor of God. The favor of God. I'm blown away about how faithful God is. How many have seen God's faithfulness? Just coming off this trip, sometimes you have times where you go on a trip or you do something for the Lord, or you're doing something on vacation, or you're doing something at work, or whatever it is in life, and it's one struggle after another, one problem after another, one difficulty after another. Those are times that happen. How many know that? But then there's times when you look at something that goes on and you just go, that's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. This is unbelievable that these doors are opening. These things are happening so perfectly and so wonderfully. And how many prefer that over the other? It's better when it's going that way. Amen? And that's really, truly God's plan. Is He is going to allow us to have struggles. Things are going to happen that are difficult. But God, in general, He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have His hand on us, and He wants us to have favor. So I want to give an example. There could be a person who's a believer. They believe in Jesus. They love God. They go to church. They try their best to serve the Lord, but they don't do it wholeheartedly. They're not all in. They're not totally committed to the Lord. They're Christians. They're believers, but they're not bearing fruit. Amen. In reality, there sometimes, and unfortunately, hopefully this isn't the case with us, we're pushing the limit on what we can do or get away with as Christians and still be saved. Amen. How many know there's people like that? Not asking you to raise your hand if that's you. I pray it's not. But there are people like that, They get saved and they just kind of are going through the motions and living for the Lord kind of how they want to and according to their understanding of the scriptures or the way that they want to interpret things, but they're not all in. And then there's another people who love God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. And God is everything to them. Their relationship with the Lord means everything to them. They're bearing fruit in their lives. They're being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And those people are not more loved by God, but those people have more favor of God. How many want to have the favor of God tonight? How many understand the difference of what I just said? God loves everybody this because his love is unbelievable. But there's a difference between God loving you and you having God's favor on you. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. Father, anoint your word and anoint the ears to hear. Lord, help us live our lives in such a way out of obedience. And some of the things that we're going to go over tonight, that Lord would help us to understand the power, the grace and the mercy and the blessing of having the favor of God on our lives. We pray that we would not just go through the motions, that we would not just be check-the-box Christians or Sunday and Wednesday Christians, but Lord, our lives would be totally sold out to you and that the favor of God would rest on our lives and it would be evident not only to ourselves but those that are around us, Father. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, I want to start off in Psalms chapter 1. And I got a good word from the Lord this morning on this one particular verse that we're going to hit at the end of this part of Scripture. But again, what kind of believer am I tonight? Am I the believer who's just going through the motions? Or am I a believer that wants the favor of God? How many want God's hand to just go where you go? Wherever you are, that means that you're in the will of God. Amen? That means that you're doing the right thing. If his hand is here and you're over here, then you're not going to have the favor of God. So wherever you walk and wherever you go, when you're doing the right thing, God's hand is resting on you. And when God's hand is resting on you, it's evidence. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't go get your counsel from ungodly people. Don't ask people for wisdom that don't have any fruit in their lives. Nor stands in the path of sinners. This means we don't hang out with sinners. We witness to sinners. We tell people about Jesus that are sinners, but we don't stand in the group and hang out with them. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, whose delight? This person that he's talking about that has the favor of God is in the law. In other words, not the 613 laws of the Lord, but in the book. Our delight, when someone has the favor of God in their life, this book is everything to them. And it says, in his law, in his word, in other words, he meditates day and night. Not Sundays, not Wednesdays, not some days, but every day. Day and night he meditates in it. And then watch this, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. And this is going to get you excited. You don't have to shout to tell me you're excited, but this should get you excited. Whose leaf doesn't wither, and whatever he does prospers. How many want whatever you do to prosper? Amen? There's a few in here tonight that want that. Amen. Let's just read that verse 3 again, the end of that part. That's a word from the Lord. Amen? Whatever you do shall prosper. Now, if I started backwards and just read the end of that verse, because that's what a lot of preachers do. A lot of preachers grab the word and the truth of it, and they'll read that last part, but not read the other two parts that are the ifs. And they'll just say, hey, whatever you do is going to prosper. And those people go out of a service and do whatever they want to do. Right? Y'all with me? So there's always a condition to the favor of God. And we're going to get into that tonight. And I'm going to give you some things to think about, some things the Lord has shared with me, some things that I have talked even today. Just I felt like doing it, asking a couple of my pastor friends in our fellowship. And it was crazy how fast they responded. I sent just a quick text to three pastors. My message was done. I wanted to see what they said, and I won't tell you who they are. And I said, if you got time and if you could just give me a quick 5 minutes, just send me a few nuggets of what you consider to be the reason that God's favor's on somebody. And so they sent their stuff, and all it did was just bam, 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 confirm what the Lord had already given me. But so they were coming from three or four pastors tonight. How many will receive the word? Amen? So you're going to get it from several angles tonight. But what this is saying is that there's a difference between those who are just checking the box, and there's a difference between those who are submitted and committed and wholeheartedly living for the Lord. And so whatever you do will prosper when you're in the position. Amen? Position is so important. And the position goes back quickly, just to hit it again real fast, verse 1 of that chapter 1. The position is not standing in the seat of the scornful, not standing in the path of sinners, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. If you look at your life, or people look at your life, or you look at someone's life, and they're never, it kind of goes back to the 11 days and 40 years. I preached that on Sunday in Ciudad Colón. It kind of goes back to those people who all they ever do is wander. All they ever do, they're moving, they're living, they're breathing, but all they ever do is go in circles. And there's no growth, there's no direction, there's no change, there's no fruit. Can somebody say fruit? Amen. There's no fruit in their lives. There's always problems. There's always delay. There's always situations. There's always excuses. There's always this, that, and the other. Those people are just wandering and wandering because they can't get out of this. And we got to get out of that to get the favor of God on us. Amen? So we can be planted like a tree by the water. Amen? So the best definition of the word favor is this: demonstrated delight. In other words, you'll see the delight of God on someone's life. Demonstrated. When you look at somebody, you should be able to say, if we went through this whole place, it's not that we're judging, you just should be able to say, I see the demonstrated delight of God on that person's life. It's demonstrated. There's favor in their life. They may have problems. All of us have problems. We all live in the same world. Isn't it interesting how we all live in the same world, but some people are overcomers, and some people all they do is walk with their tail tucked between their legs? What's the difference? How we live for God, how we take His word, how we believe His word, how we apply His word is the difference. If you're here tonight and you don't have the favor of God, good news, you can get it. You just got to listen to some of these things and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Because let me give you a news flash. It's the Lord's will that all of us walk in the favor of God. The favor of God can be described this as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. Tangible evidence. To give you an example, I'm not going to give you a specific one. It means that person, you and I and others, hopefully, are always seeing a miracle, or always seeing an answer, always seeing a breakthrough, always seeing a thing happen when it shouldn't be happening. Does that make sense? A good thing, by the way. We're seeing a breakthrough, we're getting a miracle, we're seeing something happen when we go, that's not humanly possible. And something happens and you go, you know what? That was all God, all glory to God, and that was the favor of the Lord. How'd that happen? That was the favor of the Lord. If you'll start to live your life in a way that when somebody asks you how's that happened, and your answer is, that was the favor of the Lord, I promise you God's going to do it more often because He wants glory. Does anybody believe that? Isaiah 66, verse 2. All those things my hand has made, God says, my capital M, and all those things exist, says the Lord. Watch this. But on this one, I want to be the one. Not the only one, but I want to be one of the one. On this one will I look. On who? On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit. Now, before I read the rest of that, I know a lot of people get hung up on what poor and a contrite spirit means. Here's what it means. It means we recognize our sinfulness and we're broken. Truly. I want to throw that word truly in. Not by word service, not by lip service, but real, real recognition of the sinner that I am and that I'm nobody without God. That's what that means, to have a contrite spirit. And then it means to be humble and teachable. Okay, let me say that again. He says, on this one, the people I look at, God says, Now, I'm telling you, I'm asking you tonight, do you want the favor of God? I think you'd have to be loco, a little bit crazy, to not want the favor of God. Who wouldn't want it? Everybody would want it. I hope you want it. If you don't want it, what's wrong with you? What do you want from God? Hello? Y'all here? All right. So if you want that favor, I want to be the one he's looking on. I want to be the one that God's cheering for and has his hand on. Have you ever said that person's God's hands on that person? I want to be that person. Do you want to be that person? Do you want your family to be that family? Do you want your church to be that church? Okay. So he says, here's what I'm looking at. Someone who's poor and contrite spirit. Someone who recognizes I'm a sinner and I'd be lost without my Savior. And in that, I humble myself and I'm teachable. Humility is what? Attractive. Amen? So here's a good quote. And it says, and then that next part says, and who trembles at my word. The favor of God follows somebody who trembles at his word, honors his word, respects his word. Going back to what I said in the beginning, if a Christian is trying to get away with things and saying, hey, is it all right to do this? Is it all right to do that? Can I do this? Can I do that? That's not a person who's trembling at God's word. Because the opposite is, I don't want to do anything that goes against God's word. God help me to be the holy, righteous, set-apart person you've called me to be. Listen to this. Humility is the gateway into the grace and the favor of God. So that's number one. I'm not going to say that this is in order, although I might, if I had to choose, I might say this particular one is number one. Humility. Okay, so I'm going to give you some, it doesn't matter about the numbers, but I'm going to give you some words that we continually work on so that we can walk in the favor of God. Number one is humility. Now look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Here's another one, very similar to what we read, same idea. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So tonight God is looking, he's watching. To show himself strong. This is so good. This is so powerful right here. God wants to show himself strong in that situation that you're allowing the devil to tell you he can't. Hello? Did you wear them out Sunday, Pastor Mario? My goodness. I'm back here all excited and pumped up. Y'all are dead as a doorknob. It's all right, though. I'm just going to go back to Costa Rica and Pastor Mario will take over. Just kidding. He says, oh, no, we've already had that conversation. Now he won't do that again. Amen. Can I read that again? I know y'all are deep in thought, but to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He wants to show himself in that place. He wants to say, I can, when we say he can't. Or when we say, can he wants to say, I can. Amen? In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have war. So you have to read the whole story to get the context of that. But I'm trying to show you that God's eyes are on somebody who says, God can. In your situation, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, in your family, in this world, God can. Amen? But there's a word there called loyalty. God wants you to be loyal to him. Amen? Lots of people, I don't know if you know this, but lots of people get saved, believe in God, believe in Jesus, accept Christ, and then they just leave. They're not loyal to him. If you're loyal to the Lord, you're going to be here in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years until Jesus comes back. Amen? And we're going to stay loyal to the Lord. So loyalty is another great key word to having the favor of God. Favor is, if you think about it, is, I don't want to call it a cousin, but very closely related to grace. Okay? But how many know that the Bible tells us grace cannot be earned? Grace is totally something we cannot earn. It says we are saved by grace, lest anyone should boast. But favor can be earned. Favor is earned by us when we have the right attitude towards the things of God. Here's some things I want you to write down if you're taking notes that'll bring that. Now, this is one of those messages that you can go back on and should go back on frequently and look at these things and line up with these things and work on these things. And this is where the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not in the sense of a heaven and hell issue, but am I walking in victory or am I walking in defeat? Am I walking in my power or am I walking in the favor of God where things are happening that I can't even... How did you do that? How did that happen? I don't know. It was God. Let me know God delights himself in that. So here's a few things that we're going to look at another few verses in a minute, but just some things that I was writing down today and just going over. And then, like I said, as I asked these pastors, all the things they said were in my list. And in different ways, I had to take them all and put some in different places, but this was between all of us. All things confirmed. Number one, and again, no order. A pure heart that is faithful. Pure heart that is faithful. The word pure is very important. Very important. Pure. Meaning it's real. It's genuine. It's from here, from our spiritual heart, not our physical heart, okay? And when you think of the word faithful, especially in the little things, right? There's parables about that. If you've been faithful in the little things, I'll put you over much, right? So being faithful in the little things. The Solomon talked about the little foxes that spoil the vine. Number two, pure motives. Why do you do what you do? Think about that. Pure motives. Why do I pray? Why do I go to church? Why do I read the Bible? Why do I give? Why do I love people? Why? Check your motives. Okay, I'm going to stay here just for a second. If our motives aren't pure, we cannot have the favor of God on our lives. Meaning you can do things for the Lord, but you're doing it with the wrong heart. In other words, are you doing something for a pat on the back? Are you doing something for acknowledgement? Or are you doing it because you truly love God? And it comes from the heart, right? How many know those things that I'm talking about? This is one of those messages that nobody can see where anybody's at because this is a heart thing. It goes back to my eyes are on that person who has a humble and contrite spirit, a poor spirit, a broken spirit. Not broken. Sometimes when we hear the word broken, we take it the wrong way. Not broken like it needs to be fixed, but broken like I'm in a position of humility that God can use me. Right? Because remember, just to throw this in, the thing that God hates the most is pride. Okay? It's what sent Lucifer out of heaven, and one-third of the angels followed because of pride. I can sing as good as God. I can be as good as God. And so when we have anything like that in our hearts, God's hand can't be on us. So the motives are very, very important. Number three, a pure love for other people. You want the favor of God on your life? You need to love people. Not just because Jesus says to love people, but because we truly are in love with Jesus and the love of God flows out of me, flows out of you. I mean, if we truly love Jesus, we have to love other people. We will love other people. Not just because it's a commandment, but because we want to. There's a genuine love for people. I like what one of the pastors said. I said, I almost said the name, won't say names. He said, we are called to be conduits, not reservoirs. We're called to be conduits, not reservoirs. That's good, amen? Number four, again, no order, a pure trust in God. When somebody purely trusts God, his favor's on that person. Pure trust. God, I don't understand this situation. I don't have any idea how you're going to work this out. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how I got into it, but I trust you. Okay? And you can read later for time, Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Just write that down there on the side of that on your notes. Read it later for time. Number five, agreement and loyalty to leadership in your life. Agreement and loyalty to, this is one so many people miss out on. I don't believe you that are here tonight, but so many people miss out on this. Agreement and loyalty to the leadership that the Lord has put in your life. Here's just some quick examples. Remember Elijah and Elisha? Remember, I think I went over that in the discipleship a month ago or so, whenever it was. Remember Ruth and Naomi? Remember Paul and Timothy? There was a favor on their lives because they understood that I can only have as much honor in my life as I give honor to those who are in my that I'm accountable to, right? And so when you see somebody who honors their leadership, honors and understands authority, then you see the favor of God on those people. Number six, obedience. Obedience. You can write down Deuteronomy 28 and 30. There's a whole bunch of ifs there in 28 and 30. If you obey, if you obey, if you obey, blessings, 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 blessings. Remember the message I preached about it, how much you can get in your life out of just simple, pure obedience? Just simple obedience. Amen? Two more. Pure worship, that don't have anything to do with the song, whether we sing the song you like or not, whether it's the right melody or not, whether it's the right singer or not, none of that matters. Pure worship from a pure heart. Okay? And the most important part of that, a repentive heart. True worship from a repentive heart. These are things that if you work on these things, and we work on these things, we will see the favor of God in our lives. And the last one, but not least, is pure faith. Just pure faith. God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I believe you. That's what God's looking for. God's not looking for us to go, well, how are you going to do it, God? How are you going to do this? He just wants us to say, God, I just know you're going to do this. I don't know how. I don't know when, but you're going to do it. Pure faith. Now, I'm gonna give you a couple of powerful quotes tonight. How many of you ever heard of A.W. Tozer? I love A.W. Tozer and his quotes. Powerful man of God. I share these a lot of times. And think about this. So I just mentioned faith. Any faith that must be supported by the evidences of your senses is not real faith. Any faith that has to be supported by your senses, your sight, your smell, okay, the senses, you see it, you touch it, you smell it, anything that has to be supported by that is not real faith. Because faith is not by sight. Faith is truly simply believing in what God's word says. Now, let's look at Psalms 37. I want to finish tonight in quite a few verses here in Psalms 37, one of my favorite Psalms chapters. Love this chapter, Psalms 37, verse 23 through 26. The steps of a good man, now that doesn't mean a good person because they're not a sinner, because we're all sinners, but a person who's following God, if a good man are ordered by the Lord. How many want the Lord to order your steps? Amen? And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. So when somebody is right in their heart, and their heart is pure, and they're following the Lord, there are going to be times you trip and fall. And but you won't be cast down because you'll get back up. For the Lord will actually uphold you by your hand. There's going to be times when your fall would have been great if you wouldn't have been connected to God. Your fall would have been maybe beyond recovery, but God's hand is holding you up because you have the favor of the Lord. Amen? I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging for bread. That is a promise of God. Amen? How many want to be able to say that in 30, 40, 50 years? I have never seen the righteous forsaken. God's people always win. Can I get an amen? Amen? Always. He says, I was young, and I saw some things when I was young. There's just something about, and I know some of you in here can understand this. I definitely know Pastor Marlon Dianza, we're in the same area, same age, and some of you that I'm not going to mention are older than us. Amen? And you know what I'm talking about. You get to a certain age, you start looking back on your experiences. And we were talking to a couple in Costa Rica that's dating and talking about getting married, and they said, tell you something, experience is very important. There's things that you experience in your own life, and then there's things you experience as a pastor or leaders in a church where you see other people's situations and you learn from them, and that experience is powerful. So you can say, I've seen a lot of things in a lot of years, and the one thing I can tell you for sure is God never fails. Amen? I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous. And that righteous would be in the line of all these things. Someone who has a pure heart, pure motives, loves people, all those things. And his descendants begging for bread. And the last verse there says, he is ever merciful and lends. How many would like the Lord to lend to you tonight? And his what? Descendants are blessed. Church, we're not just talking about what God's doing in our life tonight. We're talking about what we're going to leave to our kids and our grandkids. And how many have ever watched history or seen history or heard, you know, something about, and you, man, that was generations ago. And you see the blessing or you see the curse. How many want your family members, if the Lord doesn't tarry and we go on to be with the Lord in death, how many want to be able to know in a few generations that our families are following after the word of God? Be by what we've left behind. Amen? That's what we're doing tonight. We're doing something very powerful. Now, this is going to be just a big gut check real quick. This is a hard quote, but I believe it's the truth. A.W. Tozer. It doesn't mean it has to happen all the time, but it will happen in your life. Some of you that are newly saved may not have experienced this yet, but I want you to write this down. It is doubtful, A.W. Tozer says, whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. That's deep. That's powerful. Okay, I'm going to say that again. This is a man who had lots of wisdom, preached a lot of messages, and he said it's doubtful whether God can bless. That means when it says doubtful, that means some people might. But he's basically saying the majority of the people that get blessed and have the favor of God in their life in a great way have not had that happen until he has hurt them deeply. Some of you don't misunderstand what that means. I'm not talking about he's going to hit you and punch you. It means he's going to let you go through some things. You've had some deep hurts, some deep letdowns, some times of crying, some times of weeping, some times of pain, some times of wanting to quit, some times of being at rock bottom. And listen, all these things I'm mentioning right now, I'm not talking about the rock bottom you put yourself in or I put myself in. I hope that you've started to realize that in the last, especially few years, where there's a big difference between the thing that happens in your life because God's allowing it to polish you, or something you have in your life because you made a dumb mistake and you're not following the Word of God. Does everybody understand that difference? I was telling them that goes back to that message on Sunday, 11 days or 40 years. You're going to have enough problems in your life as it is without bringing problems on yourself with your hard head. Does everybody realize that? Life is hard enough as it is without us bringing problems on ourselves. That's what that whole idea is. God is saying, I'm going to allow, you didn't do anything, but I'm going to allow this to happen because I need you to understand how real I am, how powerful I am, and how many knows he knows what we can handle. And pain's not fun. That surgery that Pastor Morrow got is not fun. My dad right now is sitting at home from 24 hours later of another shoulder replacement of all those years taking care of my mom. That's not fun. That pain is horrible. But when Pastor Mario gets done with his rehab and he gets recovered, he's going to be able to walk in a way he hasn't been able to walk in a long time. He's going to be able to move his knee the way he hasn't had in a long time. But there's a lot of pain before that happens. And that's what happens in our lives a lot of times. God allows us to go through things that are painful so that when we get better. I was telling this to Pastor Jose on Wednesday, Sunday. We've been through in the last 15, 20 years, lots of hurts and lots of letdowns that you don't know about. Some of you do. Lots of hurts, lots of letdowns. In not just in our church, in our fellowship, lots of things. And then lots of, not just letdowns, struggles and hard times and difficult times. But I look back and I look at those things and I say, God, thank you for those opportunities to be broken, to be hurt, so that I can understand what victory feels like, so I can understand what the struggle felt like and now what it feels like to help somebody else who's struggling. Y'all with me? A simple example, like being in Costa Rica just now and being able to buy Pastor Jose and Marcella a brand new car. Just kidding. Wish I could. A brand new printer. $200. We were getting something at Office Depot and realized they need a printer. And so let's get it. They're having to go to the copy. They're having to print, put stuff on the computer and go to a place and print it out and make copies and all this stuff. Don't have a printer. But you know what I did? I remembered back a few years ago when Pastor Paul and Emily came to our church at Forward Drive and bought us a printer we couldn't afford. See? But see, I wouldn't have appreciated as much buying that printer for them if I hadn't been in the position of what it feels like to be on the other side of not being able to afford a printer. Y'all follow me? So again, it's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly unless he has hurt him deeply. Psalms 37, still there, 37, verse 37, 37, 37. Mark the blameless man. Mark the blameless man. That's what God does. He marks us. Like when you mark something in your Bible to go back to that's there, you put a bookmark there, you mark the blameless man and observe the upright. God is looking for someone he can mark. That's a person right there I can trust. That's a person right there I can use. That's a person that I can get glory through. Mark that person. Amen? And for the future of that man is what? Peace. Amen? Peace. When you got the favor of God on you, you have a peace that doesn't make sense. Amen? Now verse 39, Psalms 37. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength. Look, all this has to do with the favor of God. See that word trouble? Does anybody in here never have trouble? Anybody? No, of course not. And it can be the simplest trouble as getting back from a trip and your car not starting the next morning. Something that simple. That's a first world problem, but it's trouble. Or it could be a major trouble. Someone getting sick. Someone going to the hospital. Trouble is everywhere. Trouble's always around. But what does it say? When you got the favor of the Lord, the strength, he'll be a strength in the time of trouble. Amen? And then verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. And I think we went over this already. Because of what? Because they trust in him. Amen? As the musicians begin to come, write this down. The favor of God does not bless self-promotion. The favor of God does not bless self-promotion. Lots of people, we talked about this in the last month or so, we talked about it at the discipleship. This is just the truth, church. Like it or not, it's the truth. When a person is self-elevating themselves, they'll be elevated by themselves, but not God. The Bible tells me that he who humbles himself will be exalted. He who exalts himself or promotes himself will be humbled. There's a lot of things going on today in the church world where there's a lot of self-promotion. Starting with, if I ever do this, then shoot me, please. If we ever put our name on the ministry. BlakeAndrews.com. Self-promotion. There's a lot of churches, a lot of ministers, a lot of people. It's self-promotion. We want it to be about Jesus. Jesus alone. Amen? So God cannot bless what is self-promoted. God blesses that person who is humble and says, I'm nobody. I have nothing to offer, but I'm willing. Okay? And the last verse I want to look at, Psalms 37 still, verse 3 through 6. Let's read this to close. Here's the word again. Trust in the Lord and do good. Doing good is a decision. Okay? Right? Doing good is a decision. And it goes back to making a decision that I'm going to have a pure heart that's faithful. Making a decision that I'm going to keep my motives pure. Making a decision I'm going to love other people. Making a decision to do good and trust God. Making a decision to be loyal to my leadership in my life. Making a decision to obey. All these things, making a decision to worship and repent. Making a decision to have faith. How many know we make a decision to have faith or to doubt? To do or to don't, to go or to stay, to listen or to not, to obey or disobey. All these things are, so he's saying, when you do good, you will dwell in the land and feed. Look at this. How many, David mentioned feeding or eating this tonight with no idea what I was going to preach, but like, watch this. How many would like to feed on God's faithfulness? How many would like that to be your meal? The faithfulness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Amen? Verse 4. Delight yourself. I love this verse. In the Lord. When he's everything to you, when he's your number one, and you are delighting yourself in the Lord, look what it says, he'll do. And you'll see this in your life. There'll be things that God does for you. Now, listen, this goes back to all those things I mentioned. Pure heart, pure motives, pure everything, pure faith, genuine, real. Not so somebody else can see it. How many know God knows us? Right? We ain't fooling nobody. God knows our prayer life. God knows our heart. God knows if we love people or not. That's, you can't fake that. When it's real, God will give you things in your life that you don't even ask for. And you will see it happen, and you'll go, God, I've never asked for that, but thank you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you. And there'll be moments, I'm telling you, there'll be moments where you'll go, wow, that's amazing, God. And you'll say this, nobody knew that. Not my wife, not my kids, not my friends. That's something that's been just in just a desire of my heart. I've never asked for it. I wasn't looking for it, but there it is. Are you with me? It's powerful. And the same thing, you'll just look up and say, God, you're so amazing. I know I don't deserve this, and I didn't ask for it. But God will say, I know, but you're where I want you to be. So I'm giving this to you because I love you. You don't have to ask for it. Isn't that good? Y'all reading the same verse I'm reading? So, but I can say I delight myself in the Lord, but do I truly delight myself? Only God knows. And if I do, he'll give me the desires of my heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. There it is again, that word trust. And he will bring it to pass. Amen? There's some things in your life tonight that you may not have seen yet. All of us have things in our life we haven't seen yet. Stay committed. Stay the course. Anything worthwhile takes time. Nothing godly and real happens overnight. It takes time. It takes faithfulness. It takes commitment. Amen? And he will bring it to pass. How many believe he'll bring it to pass tonight? Verse 6, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I want the favor of God in my life. Lord, I want to know tonight that you are everything your word says you are. And Lord, we want to seek you and come to you tonight, not because of what you have or what you can give us or of your power, but because you're so good, we love you and thank you for saving us. We humble ourselves and know we're nothing tonight. We can do nothing on our own. My righteousness is filthy rags. Nothing I can do can make you love me more, but there's a lot I can do tonight to to have your favor. And I want your favor on my life. And I want your favor on these men and women's lives tonight. I want your favor on our church, on the destiny of this church and the direction of this church and the favor on our fellowship of churches around the world, that God, your hand would just continue to be upon us. The hand of the Lord. That it would be said about us, the hand of the Lord is on that church. The hand of the Lord is on that couple. The hand of the Lord is on that man or woman. The hand of the Lord is on that teenager. God is in that life. God is doing something. And Lord, all we'll be able to do is say, it's all you, God. I give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Tonight, as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed all across this place, God loves you so much. Love him back like he deserves. Surrender yourself. Be loyal to him. Be faithful to him. Commit yourself to him. Let go tonight of any of those things in your life that do not need to be there. They're not worth it. They're an obstacle. Let the doubt go. Let the fear go. Let the inadequacy go. Let those spirits of unforgiveness go, anger, doubt. Let them go and let God take over and say, God, I totally trust you tonight. Check my motives. Check my heart. Show me, Lord, if there's anything, as David said, in my life that needs to be removed, and create in me a right spirit tonight. Oh, you're so faithful to us tonight, God. Oh, Lord, I want it for everybody, but I can't make the decision for everybody. If we'll do good and obey and humble ourselves, we'll see the hand of God in our lives. We'll see the favor of God in our lives. And Lord, it'll be something that all we can do is say, that was God. That's you, God. That's all you. Tonight, as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many in this place you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the forgiver of your sins, as the one who took your place on the cross? You'll never have the favor of God if you don't give lordship to Jesus. You must take the Son tonight. You must receive what he's done for you on that cross. And how many could say, Pastor, tonight before we leave, I want to give my life to Jesus. I've never said that prayer before. I've never surrendered to Jesus. I've never been saved. Just lift up your hand and put it right back down all over this place. Quickly, just put it up. Put it right back down. I want to pray for you. I don't know Jesus tonight as my Lord and Savior. Notice I didn't ask you if you're a member of a church. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized in water. I asked you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? A church doesn't save you. A person doesn't save you. Jesus saves. His blood alone on the cross. Maybe you're here tonight and you know Jesus. You believe in Jesus. You've given your life to Jesus, but tonight you're not in the place God wants you to be. Maybe you're living in some kind of habitual sin. Maybe you're just cold in your spirit. You're not walking the way God wants you to walk. You've allowed the old ways to come back, and you need to get back with God again. As Revelation says, back to your first love. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many could say, that's me tonight, Pastor. Pray for me. I want to rededicate. I see your hands. I see your hands. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand tonight all over this place. How many believe what I told you tonight, that you can have the favor of God? I'm not going to ask you if you want it, because that's, like I said, that's a dumb question. But his favor is to be had, and it starts with pure obedience, pure motives, pure faith, pure trust, and just saying, God, I really want to serve you because of who you are, not because of what you can give me. Amen? Not because of who you are, not because of what you can give me. Tonight, let's say a prayer before we go offline of salvation. For those that raise their hand for rededication, I want to pray tonight a prayer of confessing our sins to the Lord. Just repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I fall short of your glory. I cannot get to heaven on my own. Your word tells me that. I believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. You died on that cross for my sins, and you shed your precious blood. I believe that, and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord tonight. Make me a new person. Wash me clean and give me a new start. From this night forward, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to obey your word. And I'm going to glorify your name. And I thank you for your salvation and your mercy. Please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.